It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
That's how you make the sound good.
Okay.
As you go, ee.
Okay.
And then it makes it resonant or something. All right. Glad to get that out of the way. Anyway, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, good. Because I started like 10 seconds ago.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. What the hell was that?
That was your cat.
Wow. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that will still be around after the revolution.
Yes.
Mm.
We definitely will be.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 221.
And I would just like to point out...
I think.
We talk a great deal about how lazy we are to, like, not edit or do anything else. We're so lazy, I'm pretty sure some of our equipment is broken, and I'm not even worrying about it. William tells me I cut in and out a little bit in places, but other people tell me you can still hear me, so whatever.
Well, that's when you were holding it. Now that you don't hold the microphone, I don't think it does that.
Oh, really?
Well, because...
Oh, the last episode was a mystery episode. Okay.
Because you didn't cut out during the mystery episode, I don't think.
I thought you fairly recently had told me I was cutting out.
The thing is...
Yeah, it probably has to do with messing with that thing.
Right, right.
So it's probably not even broken. It's probably just because I was fucking with it all
maybe,
the time.
Maybe.
For those of you just joining us, 221 episodes in, which totally could be a thing, let me give you the lowdown here. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Once again, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. People. Which cat is that?
I don't know.
If it's Ezzy, that'll be awesome. They're supposed to scratch on that. It's a scratching pad.
Oh.
Ezzy likes to scratch on the carpet right next to it, just because she's that much of a bitch. but sometimes she scratches on it. Anyway, people like yourselves... You write that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little things, little comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its egalitarian servants, reach into the hat and draw them out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show. Except this time we're going to do it for 2 hours, except you won't know. Because there'll be a week in between them for you. There's a thing when I watch Adult Swim really late, they talk about a marathon of a particular show. And they're like, 22 episodes all in a row with only 1 week apart. I'm like, yeah, see? There we go. So, yeah, so this is a two-hour binge here, 1 week between each hour. So
we call it magical, but it could be advanced technology.
Yeah. By Clark's Law.
Yeah, it could be advanced alien technology, really, but we don't know that.
A hat
it's magic of
sufficiently
test.
Advanced technology is indistinguishable from a magic hat. Really, a regular hat is indistinguishable from a magical hat as well.
That's true, yeah. That's very true.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
All right, so that's our deal. And it's been 2 weeks for us. The evil ones took over last week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was sick, because I'm sick all the time. So how have your 2 weeks been?
Well, it seems like there were a lot of things going on that I was going to talk about last week, and I remember them, but sitting here talking to you, it's... difficult for them to come to mind. The last week I've just been working on projects and stuff, but the previous week there were things that had happened, like Dave had his gaming thing and I went to that.
Okay, I have no idea how it's recording on the mic, but I can barely hear you over here.
But, I'd have to really work to remember everything.
So how did the gaming go? What'd you play?
Oh, let's see. It went okay. We played, I don't remember what it's called, but it's an older game system. Diceless, for one thing.
Amber?
Yeah.
You played Amber?
Yeah.
Holy shit, how'd that go?
What?
That's a pretty heavy-duty game.
It is?
Yeah.
I think it went okay. I mean, I don't know. You know how I...
Whose child did you play?
Always feel insecure. Well, we didn't get that far. You know, because a lot of times you start out, you don't even realize... who you are, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and so you sort of progress through it to learn all that stuff.
Yeah. So is this going to be part of a campaign, or?
I doubt it. Oh. I mean, we've often talked about continuing something the next time we get together, but then the same people aren't there, or the number of people there is weird to try to do that. So I kind of doubt it. But, the way it was set up was we didn't know about Amber, but... We did know what our mom's name was, and she must have been somebody.
What was her name?
I don't remember.
God damn it.
Well, it's they're made up weird names. I don't...
Fiona, Florimel,
no.
Llewellyn.
Wait. What was the second one?
Florimel?
Yeah, might have been that one.
All right. Flora, for short.
Yeah, might have been her.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, yeah. And, you know, we didn't get very far in it, just far enough to sort of... realized that something was going on to sort of get there and to talk to a few people, and then that's it.
I find that very odd because to me there are two kinds of games. There are one-shot games, standalone, single session games.
Yeah.
And then there are campaigns. And to me, the first thing is self-contained and really needs to be sort of prepared to be self-contained. So the idea that, like, we're going to just start this and after just barely getting started, we're done, and we're never going to touch it again.
Well,
I think
from Dave's perspective, if you just do the games that are designed to be a quick 2 or 3 hours or one shot,
yeah,
you're not going to introduce people to, you know, such a variety of games. You know, the thing is, we've been doing this for a while now, and we are getting to the point where we're starting to feel like, okay, now it would be nice to be able to finish something, because maybe twice we've gone and played and we felt like something was finished.
Yeah.
And all the rest of the time it's not. It's fun, but now we're getting to the point where, boy, it sure would be fun to get together with some people, and we were doing this over the course of, say, a month or something.
Yeah.
But I think that's exactly what Dave wants to happen, right? He wants you to do it, and then, you know, either you're going to decide this isn't for you, or you're going to think, gosh, I think we should do this.
And honestly, one shots may run a little counter to the way Dave likes to work, because the easiest and most common way to ensure that you get a full adventure out of your session is to essentially railroad, to a certain degree, to sort of pre-set up a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that's very counter to, that's very antithetical to how Dave operates.
Well, you know, he actually,
which is generally a good thing.
He brings several things and lets you choose, so
that would make it even harder.
So, you know, Amber wasn't the only thing we could choose from, but we were curious about it after he said what it was about, and so
we played Amber right when it came out, because one of our people was a huge fan of the books, and I went on and read the books, and we played it a bit, and it was terrible. I, years later, found out apparently can be really good. I have yet to play it really good. When we played it, it was horrible. And we thought it was the game was not conducive. The setting and the narrative was not conducive to a role-playing game. I've since learned that it's just not conducive to a game that's being played by teenagers. Because, I mean, the whole of Amber has a lot to do with lots of political power struggles and... basically the most rich and gifted family in existence just backbiting and ruining each other and being shitty to each other. And all the time, everybody involved having, like, godlike powers. And so that can be tricky to navigate. And especially bad when you're just a bunch of asshole teenage boys. So since then, I've always been curious to play in an Amber game. I mean, I still own the books. In fact, I think I repurchased the books because I still like the setting.
Why?
The books, the original novels, I loved. I mean, the sexism fairy shit all over them, but I still love those novels.
I think we all enjoyed it all right. I think all of us would be willing to play it again, but it just probably won't work out that way.
Fun fact, the second series of novels on Audible is narrated by Will Wheaton. There's 2 5-book series in the Amber Chronicles, and the first 5-book series is a first-person series from a certain character, and then the second book is a first-person series from that character's child.
Let's see. Also, we went to work on the Briar Rose project back at the studio of my friend in Des Moines. That was good. It was a little overwhelming. It was one of those times where you get together to work on something and you realize just how much more work there is to do on something. So that was kind of we got a lot done, but it was pretty. I wouldn't say discouraging, just very. You drove home thinking, "Wow, I cannot believe how much we still have to do." But it's moving forward at least, and that's good. Seems like there was something else that I was going to talk about last time.
We're at the bank.
I just don't remember. What about your 2 weeks?
Had a fair bit. I didn't have much happen the first week. Second week, a lot happened. We didn't game. We haven't gamed in so long. In fact, I've set it up this Sunday. We're going to have a big, massive session, like, all afternoon, in which I hope to finish the old campaign that we've been doing. 'Cause it just needs to be done. And then next Tuesday, we can start putting stuff together to play Earthdawn. So we're going to finish that up this Sunday, and everybody can actually make that, so that's good. Haven't done any other, like, gaming, though. Still playing Infamous 2, because I kind of got to the point where, like, I've finished most of the stuff, and most of what I have left I'm pretty sure, is just, like, the end of the game.
Mm.
And so it's, like, what I think of as the big secret to the game, the big twist in the plot, has happened. And it was fascinating, and actually, it was one of those where I'm looking at the TV screen, and I actually was out loud going, "No way!" But, like, it's past now, and I'm like, pretty much what I have left to look forward to are really challenging boss fights.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing it on easy, and I still die a lot. So, I'm not doing a lot of that. I'm coming up with excuses not to play, but I really should get that finished. I'm very, very tired because I've had a very busy couple of nights.
Really?
Yeah, because we knew this was coming. We talked about this. Tuesday night, went to see Nick Offerman.
Oh, yeah.
Wednesday night, went to see Craig Ferguson. Tuesday, both of them at the Englert here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday night was Nick Offerman, and that was... it was a book reading and signing.
Mm.
He put out a book a while back called Paddle Your Own Canoe.
Yeah.
Which is a humorous sort of self-help guide to having a good life. Or having a delicious life, I believe is how it's entitled. And now he's released a second book called Gumption.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, in fact, basically his tribute to a bunch of people, both living and dead, that he admires.
Mm.
And for the living ones, like, I think in most cases he went and actually interviewed them and things, and the other ones he just wrote essays. And it's still funny. It's quite funny from the bits he read. But yeah, it's more focused on these various people that he admires. And it seems really cool, and we got 2 copies because you got a copy with the ticket. And then I bought a copy of his first book because we never had that. So it looks good. He was fun. He talked a lot. Like, it was just sort of a reading and stuff, but he talked a lot, and he had a very long question and answer. I got to ask him a question.
You did?
Yes, because when he was going to start reading, he asked the audience if anyone was familiar with his TV show Axe Cop, and the room was silent. except for me. Literally sold out.
Just you.
Englert Theater. Nobody. And I go, woo. And then I go, I will chop your head off. And he laughed and explained to everybody that that was, in fact, Axe Cop's catchphrase. And tried to explain why that is and all that. But the reason he brought it up is because the artist who does the comic, the graphic novel for Axe Cop, mm-hmm. is a friend of his and did drawings of every person in every chapter of that. So that's why he brought it up. But so later, Q&A, I went up there and I said, I'm the doofus who yelled out about Axe Cop. So I have an Axe Cop question. And I said, like, I'm a big fan of Parks and Rec, American Ham, all that stuff. But yeah, I have an Axe Cop question. Because I had heard, and I may have brought it up here before, I've heard a few different podcasts where actors talked about wanting to play, like hearing that was going to be a TV show and wanting to do the voice of Axe Cop, and then finding out via their agent or just whatever, Nick Offerman's set for that, and them going like, oh, yeah, that makes more sense. And so I said, given this, did you actually audition? Or did they just be like, is Axe Cop? And the answer is the second one, but not just because. He made the damn show. Apparently, he already was a huge fan of the comic and friends with the artist, and he took it to producers and said, this should be a TV show. And they were like, you're right. And so there was never any question. I didn't know that. And it's stupid because I'm pretty sure if I looked at the credits more carefully, I could probably tell. Yeah, so he made the show. And apparently the person who complains most about it is Ken Marino, which I think is true because I think he's the first person I heard it from. What I didn't realize, there's a lot of great voices on that show, and I recognize pretty much all of them. I'm pretty good at that. Except Ken Marino apparently does the voice of Flute Cop, and I totally missed that. And now that I hear that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely him. But yeah, so that was fun to find out. And so that was good. And that wasn't too late, actually. We got home not too bad.
Okay.
But then I couldn't sleep that night, so that was a mess. So then last night, the good news is we didn't have to rush, because it wasn't until 8, and it was reserved seating as opposed to general admission, so there was no waiting in line and stuff like that. But it went long. The final standing up and applauding and things was at 10 o'clock.
Jeez.
And just in case people don't recall, I tend to go to bed 8:30 on a weeknight because I get up at 5:15. So yeah, I was in bed real late, and so I'm exhausted now. But still went to the gym, still doing good there. And Craig Ferguson was hilarious. Craig Ferguson's always hilarious. I love Craig Ferguson. It was very funny. He did a lot of telling story. Like, he told these fascinating stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very fun, very reminiscent to me of his memoir, and I like that. I always kind of forget he's really blue, and, like, really... Like, he swears a lot, which, whatever. Sorry, what the fuck ever. but he's also... He's into gross stuff. Like, he talks a lot about butts and things like that. To put it simply, there were many times, for many reasons, where he pantomimed smelling his finger on stage. And I forgot kind of about this, and I forgot, I'm not really into that. I mean, like I'm not, like, opposed or anything.
Scatological humor?
Well, just in general, gross humor, okay, like 12-year-old boy humor,
mm-hmm.
as an act.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, talking with somebody today, I think they articulate good. It seems easy to me. and so I love Craig Ferguson as a person. I think he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I loved his show. I love his stand-up. I laughed a lot. I'm glad we went. I would pay the money. I would go again. If he comes back around, I'll totally go again.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk, I'm a stand-up geek. When you talk about my favorite stand-ups, he's not really in those mm-hmm. echelons, because it's a lot of things about people putting fingers in buttholes or, you know, whatever other just sort of gross things,
right,
and
right.
I'm like, oh, whatever. But it still made me laugh a lot, and there was a lot of intending to be. In fact, he made a big point. He said, everybody in this audience will be offended. And we all clapped, and he's like, yeah, you clap now. When it comes to it. He did all sorts of fascinating accents, which he sort of, I've always known he's good at, but he's really good at, like, doing the wrong accent in the wrong place. And that's
okay.
And that's the thing. Other than specific things that just like would have been impossible to not be because he was here that involved like specific things about Iowa City and stuff like that. Other than those obvious ones, I'm pretty confident none of the stuff was off the cuff. It was all a part of the act, but he's really good at making it look like it is. He was really good at like pausing and suddenly that reminded him of something and talked about that. And I could be wrong, but I feel like it was all designed, but he does it really well, and that's to his credit. And I laughed my ass off. He's really funny. and he has really good momentum getting into a story. Like, as it's going on, it gets to the point where it's just so hilarious. Like, every sentence he says, you're just falling over laughing. And callbacks that are, like, kind of dumb, but they just fit right, and so then you're cracking up over that. I think the person in front of me in the audience may have reacted sometimes not to his jokes, but to my reaction of the jokes. And his opener, who I believe was named Dave Stone, was actually pretty funny as well. I was pretty pleased. I might seek him out again. He was good. So that was fun. But I'm very tired. Also, saw a movie.
What'd you see?
I highly recommend this movie to everyone, and you can watch it for free because it is on YouTube and it is only 30 minutes long.
Okay.
It is called Kung Fury.
Okay.
And I have a hard time explaining it. It is a relatively recently made film.
All right.
It is set in 1986, and it is essentially, if an action movie creator from that time had modern day special effects technology and like unlimited money, this is the movie they would make. And it's hilarious.
Okay.
It is, well, it's called Kung Fury right there. Okay. Sure. And the origin story involves, with no context beforehand, spontaneously being struck by lightning while simultaneously being bitten by a cobra to gain powers. And again, there was no storm. This was in an alleyway where there were no snakes. Like, Hitler's involved.
Really?
Right there. Hacking. Lots of hacking.
Okay.
From Hackerman, the world's greatest hacker. It's ridiculous and hilarious. I love it so much. It is now my second favorite YouTube video. My first favorite YouTube video being one I recently saw this week, involving baby goats in pajamas. I've watched it like a dozen times and it never doesn't make me smile. I'll make you watch it in between sessions here. It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It almost makes me believe in God again. It's amazing. But yeah, Kung Fury. Find it on YouTube. Don't worry, you're not pirating shit. It's literally, that's the only place it is. They put it there. Because it's a 30-minute movie and they want people to see it. It's awesome. Super, super awesome. Everybody go see it. Hilarious shit. Trish and I finished the 8th Dresden Files novel that I was reading to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a little tricky.
What?
I'm starting to have feels about it.
You're starting to have what?
Feels.
Feels?
You know, in my heart and stuff.
Oh, feelings?
Well, whatever.
Oh, feels. That's what nowadays. The kids call it,
yes,
these days.
The kids.
Yeah. I don't understand that.
It's at a point in the series, and I don't know if it's a it's probably some combination. I don't know if it's because at this point he's getting to be a better writer at this point in the series,
mm-hmm.
or if it's at this point there's a lot of characters that you've been with for a while, so you care more about them, or if there is something about the way the plots are. But, like, there's a lot of stuff that I get emotional about now, and I'm trying to read it out loud. And, like, there was a bit that I read, and I was a little misty during it.
Sure.
And afterwards, I was like, that's all I can read tonight, because I know what's coming next, and I need to sort of prepare. And I'm like, this is going to get worse. Because there's shit I can't listen to in book 15 without tearing up. I'm like, how the fuck am I going to read that?
Well, you're only on book 8.
Yeah, we got time. But I'm like, but it gets worse and worse. Like, book 9, I'm like, oh, shit, I know some shit that goes down there. Book 10, forget about it. 11, yeah, no, so 12, oh, my God, 12. Like yeah, that's the thing. I've been thinking about it, and I'm like, all the feels happen more and more as this goes on, so this is going to be weird. It is fun, though, because Trish is starting to appreciate specific characters' evolutionary arcs and things. Mm-hmm. She's like, so-and-so in the beginning was like, and I'm like, yes, see, that is one of his strengths. His characters actually grow and change. Mm-hmm. Their relationships grow and change. It's well done. I'm still listening to the Sandman Slim novels at the gym. I just finished the second one, and I was going to take a break, but something, I was so invested in the second, it's not like it ended on a cliffhanger, but I was just sort of into it, that I had to start the third one, so listening to that now. Unfortunately, I accidentally managed to spoil, like, the biggest thing possible about this next one. So, whatever tension comes up in this book, I kind of know how it ends. So, I feel bad about that.
Sandman Slim makes me think of Sandman, makes me think of Gaiman, makes me think there's going to be a Lucifer series, TV supposedly. Series.
I think it's gotten picked up on Fox, for crying out loud.
I think they're going to do it. I think they've cast it and everything. I don't know.
I suppose it's easier to make a TV show of Lucifer than of Sandman, but I still think it's a bad idea. I still don't think it's very doable. But I didn't think Constantine was very doable, and it was awesome. But it also got canceled. So who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know.
I've got the pilot for Stitchers on the DVR. We'll probably watch that this weekend. I don't know if it'll be any good. I don't know if I care. We just, at this point, we have nothing to watch other than, like, At Midnight and The Soup, so.
We're watching Penny Dreadful.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
And it's, you know, it's hard to say because
I keep meaning to revisit it, but the pilot was just so, I didn't give a fuck. That,
oh, well, we like it, but it's got a tendency to do what a lot of shows do today, where some of the writing is good enough that you think the show can really stand on its own, but apparently someone who's directing or producing or something feels like, nope, we got to have a lot of gratuitous nudity, And it's so...
When you're a premium cable station, there you go.
But it's so jarring. I mean, it takes you right out of the story. It doesn't make any sense. It's so clearly something they're doing just to titillate viewers and get people to watch.
Yeah.
And when you're someone who thinks that the storytelling and the acting is pretty strong, it just makes you wonder, why are they doing this? They don't need to do this to get people to watch this show. But, you know, I think it's pretty good. I think the second season is quite a bit better than the first one. Mm. The first season had a really light plot so they could focus on developing the characters. But then, as you said, the characters, without a really compelling plot, it was kind of hard to get into the characters. And and most of the time what you noticed about the characters were how different they were from the source material, which sometimes that's okay, but usually it's not.
Yeah.
So the whole first season is taken up with that sort of introductory stuff, and it doesn't really get its... It doesn't really get its claws in you. But the second one, all of that's done. All that establishing stuff's done. And so they can focus on really doing more interesting things with the characters. I think the second season's actually pretty good.
And that could be good because nowadays, frequently, a show can't hold out that long. But back in the day, some of the great shows out there had a pretty weak first season.
Yeah.
Because first season, and it's not just about establishing. It's also about the writers, directors, and actors getting their sense of the show, because the show's new to everybody,
right?
And so things like Buffy, things like Stargate, things like Farscape, I'm not going to say they had shitty first seasons, but they had weak first seasons, especially shanky. Compared to what happened later,
sure.
Because they were finding their footing.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, if you like, there would be more of this nerd. Like nowadays, if you don't have a first season that is just mind-blowing, you're canceled. I'm kind of surprised Penny Dreadful's making it, but...
I think the second season's pretty good. Pretty good. And some of the stuff they're doing is pretty bold. Like, in the most recent episode, once again, completely gratuitous, unnecessary, and silly.
Mm.
On the other hand, it was a scene between two men.
Oh.
Which you never see. I mean.
No, yeah.
But that's part of the problem was that, okay, this is probably the most graphic sex scene they've had in it so far. And it's two guys. So it's almost like they know that this is bold and daring, so they're just going to really overdo it. Yeah. Which, that's, to me, that's a little bit disappointing. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
okay, but... so you want to have a scene between these two men, and you don't want it to be a, you know, like you have scenes between men and women, you just want it to fit in.
Yeah.
So why overexpose it? Why overdo
because
it?
Because if you know you're treading on either virgin territory or very seldom tread territory, and you're a TV show, you want to milk that for all it's worth. No potentially creepy pun intended. Every time a TV show, like the first network TV show that had a kiss between two men or whatever, it was always crazy. It was never just like this little subtle thing that happened. They want to show off, I'm guessing.
I guess.
Hopefully, this isn't the last scene between two men. And as time goes on...
It's not the first one they've had in the show.
Oh, okay.
But this was just super graphic. I mean,
I don't know then. Maybe they just thought that guy was hot.
The most graphic sex scenes they've had in the whole show were these, as far as I remember. Mm. But, you know, of course, I don't remember them very well because I don't like them.
You tend to black out.
Yeah, I truly do. But, you know...
And then you wake up and there's two dead bodies in
but,
the room.
But this is kind of a thing. This is another example in another show. We've been watching iZombie. And one of the things about... and this isn't a spoiler because it's established very early on. When a person who is what a zombie is in their world, which is someone who can avoid being the shambling kind of zombie as long as they get brains to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they have to eat brains or else they'll turn into those types of zombies that people are familiar with. And when they do eat a brain, they start to take on characteristics of the person whose brain they've eaten.
Yep.
All right. Well, in one show where there are two of these types of people talking to one another and they're dating, one's a woman, one's a man, and the man suddenly is not interested in like kissing her or whatever. He acts like repulsed by her. And she asks, what's going on with that? He says, oh, it's because I'm gay. I mean, I had the brains of a gay guy earlier.
Oh.
Okay. Now on one hand you think, okay, that's pretty clever. But on the other hand, they don't do anything like that in the rest of the show. Like when she eats the brain of a heterosexual male, she doesn't find herself in any way, shape, or form attracted to women. But
it
when
sounds like it was a heavy-handed joke.
Well, I don't know. I think they were trying to be clever, but what it actually did was it made it look like, oh, so gay men are more have sex on the mind more often than other people. Which is a stereotype that feeds into, you know, the belief that homosexuality is deviant sexual behavior. Yeah. And so it ended up being, I think they probably even thought there was something a little bit progressive about it and edgy about it. Because this guy's a straight guy. He ate a gay guy's brain. So he was feeling gay, but he wasn't making a big deal out of it. He didn't care. But it actually ended up playing on stereotypes that are really old and quite damaging, I think.
And weird anyway, because if they're really in a relationship, like... I feel like it would be way more complicated than just, oh, I'm gay now. Like, you know.
Well, but it wears off too. It's...
No, I know. But I mean, like, yeah.
But this is what I'm saying is like, a lot of times it seems to me that people who want to, hey, let's get out there and be on the very edge in terms of how we treat homosexuality and how we treat transgender issues. They, by going out on the edge, they actually... You know, they actually feed into a lot of stereotypes or pull from a lot of stereotypes, and they actually accomplish the opposite of what they were going for.
They can often do it poorly. Yeah.
It's like this scene. I don't know if a gay person, a gay man especially, watching the scene would have thought, I mean, he might have watched it and thought, this is kind of insulting, you know?
Well, and of course...
And exploitive.
And of course, it becomes very hard to say because I'm sure some gay men watched that scene and felt that way. I'm sure some other gay men watched that scene and felt empowered by it.
Well, exactly. And, you know, That's right. So you have.
But
I think if they'd made the scene in a way that was more consistent with the other scenes they've shown, it would probably have reached that middle ground where. The guys who would feel empowered would still feel empowered, and the guys who might think it's exploitive wouldn't think
that
it is.
Well, and that's often a sign that you've done it wrong when, among other things, it is discordant with the rest of your material.
Yeah.
See, the fact that it does stand out in other ways is a sign that maybe you didn't think it through entirely.
There also seems to be an inconsistency, not just in this show, but in how this is portrayed in general. We've noticed where it's a heterosexual couple or a gay male couple, the scene can be really explicit, and it's done in a way where it really does look like both people are totally into it. But if it's a scene between two women, it's frequently not very explicit, and the women, like, for example, they're kissing, you know, there's no tongue involved or anything that. It looks very controlled and very, very much like these two women don't look like they're really getting into this.
Now, I find that fascinating because in my experience of almost all media with this kind of stuff, it's the heterosexual couples and the lesbian couples where it looks real serious. And then with the gay guys, it looks very fakey and they often cut away real fast
that's
stuff like that.
That's true. That has been true. Like, although most of the time I've ever seen two women, together and it's more, they look more interested. It's also in the story context is that they're bisexual women or straight women and they're drunk
or something. That's true. Yeah, no. All women are into women if they get a few drinks into them, ultimately just need a dude.
But if the story is that the two women are lesbians and they're actually love each other, or, you know, they're interested in having a relationship or whatever, then suddenly they really tone it down. Mm-hmm. And for a while I thought, well, that's just, I mean, that kind of goes along with how, you know, you'll have in a movie where a married couple is shown in bed together, like even with pajamas on and stuff, but they're shown in bed together just talking, that film might get a PG rating. If the exact same, if another film with the exact same type of scene, but they're same sex couple, film might get a PG-13 rating. Yeah. So I thought, okay, so that's what's going on here. They're feeling like they're going to offend people by having these two women sort of go at it. But then later these two men do, and they don't seem to care. So I don't,
That is fascinating. I've never run into that before.
Because
I've never seen any TV show on, I mean, and to be full disclosure, I never watched Queer as Folk, but I've never seen a TV show, network, cable, anything, that didn't treat any homosexual male couples with kid gloves and very little showing.
No, I've seen that a lot too, but...
So like, I'm surprised.
Like, I've never watched, Modern Family.
And Modern Family's really shitty at it. Full disclosure, to second, third season in, I've stopped watching.
Okay.
But they've been really shitty about it.
Okay.
Hardly any physical affection at all. I believe I saw them kiss on screen twice ever, and they were the most chaste little kisses on the lips.
We're talking about there's a gay couple
There's a gay
the
couple
show.
On that show.
I don't know I think the demographic for the show, in spite of the fact that I think it has some adult humor in it, is probably they're thinking that, you know, some young people are probably watching.
Well, it's very mainstream. I mean, it's a sitcom. It's a standard primetime sitcom, which makes some of it forgivable. But it's again for touting itself for being so progressive.
I mean, you know, the thing is, I would sooner no show have any of explicit effect.
It's the discrepancy.
Yes,
not,
but I do
you're not
know,
saying I really need more.
Yeah,
of this,
but I do
saying.
Notice that that when shows have a certain level of showing heterosexual interaction, and then if there's a gay couple, that somehow it isn't consistent in its tone.
Yeah,
that's not really right. I mean, I would sooner you don't do it at all, but if you're going to do it, then do it the same.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it's really noticeable and it's kind of offensive. It's more offensive, actually. If I'm watching a show that's got a lot of explicit sex in it, which I don't like to see, I'm more offended if they're inconsistent in how they treat those things than the fact that they have explicit sex in them in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me that, all right, you're going to throw this in your show. Fine. I'll either stop watching it or I'll live with it. But well, then
that
you're going
seems like, because you know that some people like that kind
sure,
of
sure, sure.
Like,
but well, then you're really going to offend me
yeah.
by having a homosexual couple and you do it like that. That
yeah.
doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Now, to be fair, a lot of times the actors have some say in this, right? Like an actor might say, okay, I don't really feel comfortable with nudity, or I don't feel comfortable. And it could just be that both of these gentlemen said, you know what? We want to do this. We want this to be
a
scene like this. And so they decided, okay, and that they would do it that way other places, but the actors aren't.
And I'm sure that is the case sometimes, but I think you have to have a certain amount of weight to be able to pull that off. I don't think any actor can just, like, they can say, okay, fine, you don't want to do that? We'll go hire somebody else. Like, you have to have the cachet to be able to say, like, I'm not doing this.
I suppose.
There's been some theories on that. I don't watch this. In fact, I want to talk about how I think I've decided not to ever watch it. But Game of Thrones famously throws in shit tons of nudity and sex for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like, not necessarily the sex is tapering more, but the crazy, weird sex stuff is tapering more. And the theory is the show's successful. The actors now have a little bit more influence to say,
no,
maybe I don't have to do that really crazy fucked up thing this time. Which would make sense, cause, although that show has proven that it'll just recast a person with a new actor and not tell
well,
anybody.
Well, sometimes it's, I feel like the actors having an input on it when the show is consistently showing actors and both
doing,
male and...
But then this one guy's doing something different.
Well, or you know, it's consistently showing male and female nudity in different contexts, but then suddenly there's a scene and, you know, it's that awkward thing you get in TV sometimes where the woman gets out of bed and she takes the sheets with her, covering herself up.
Yeah.
Like, well, they didn't do that in the other scenes, so
but
that's
going to
be
more common
be
with
decision.
A guest star that is more famous.
No, I suppose.
Like, they don't
I suppose
do
so. I suppose so.
But I think I assume in Hollywood that kind of stuff is always a weird sort of struggle. Yeah, I think I've decided never to watch Game of Thrones, which was not my intention at all. I totally planned to watch it.
What made you decide not to?
Well, the producer started watching it.
Mm-hmm.
She watched about 9 episodes of the first season. And then she's kind of, I mean, it's not definitive, but she hasn't watched it in a while. And she's like, I'm not sure I'm going to bother. And I've always been a little stuck because I read the first book and I did not like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never sure, but like everybody loves it. A lot of sex and nudity, which I always love. Big pervert. love Peter Dinklage, you know, fucking dragons. I always want to encourage fantasy and sci-fi stuff, especially if it's good, which supposedly this is good. Everybody fucking loves Game of Thrones. I just haven't gotten around to it and stuff. And I think what sort of pushed me over the edge, and I'm not going to say it was the deciding factor, but it was sort of the point at which I came into this decision. I was reading an article recently. Recently, there was a rape scene in the TV show. This is not surprising.
No.
Game of Thrones is fucking full of rape scenes.
Well, it's not the first one anyway.
Yes. Well, in Game of Thrones, the book series, fucking full of rape scenes as well. But apparently, the show has a fair bit as well. And that's the thing. There was somebody wrote a column using it as an illustration for issues involving why... Let's look at the reasons why it seems so common that there are rape scenes in TV shows and movies, whereas similar things are not as common and what... Like, anyway, thought-provoking shit that I... That's not the point here. I don't want to get into it because it starts a whole debate that I don't feel like making right now.
Right.
But in the process, I went and read the comments, which were bad enough that the guy, the writer eventually turned them off. But what's funny is I didn't see anything terrible. People were arguing, and some people were arguing from atrocious positions, but nobody was being that asshole you find in comments.
Sure.
So I'm like, this isn't the best. But there was lots of debate. And in the process, there was a lot of, I mean, some of it was terrible because there are people like, well, does it count as rape? And they're like, well, she didn't consent. It's like, yeah, but they're married. Well, that's weird shit like that.
Jeez.
It got fucked up. And of course, the standard trope I remember from certain people, like in college and stuff. It's like, I'm just arguing from a legalistic standpoint. And I'm like, why? First of all, I still think you're wrong, but also why? Is that useful for you? That's like the asshole who argues about the word niggardly. Like, even if you're right, what? You're just a jerk. Shut up. But anyway, and in the process of this, it came things where people were talking about, well, in like this other rape scene that was in the show, and other people were like, yeah, compared to this, this, and this, this one was pretty tame. And I thought about it, and I'm like, that, I didn't like, we're hitting on a lot of the shit I didn't like anyway in the book.
Yeah.
I know this is, I'm like, maybe it's not, I mean, and it's not like I've been chomping at the bit to watch it anyway. Yeah. I keep saying, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to. I was finally like, it's the usual thing. It's why I stopped the damn Furies of Calderon book. And I'm like, not saying it's not good. I'm saying I'm not going to consume all the media that's good out there in my lifetime. Maybe this one doesn't make the cut. And maybe that's okay. Because honestly, I think the main driving force in all of this is it's so in the zeitgeist. And I wanted to participate in the conversation.
Sure.
It's the same reason I almost watched Breaking Bad and things like that, too. Yeah. But I didn't. And I think it's the same thing here. I'm like, I don't know that I'm going to get enough out of it. Yeah. And I don't know that I'm willing to pay the price of watching it.
Yeah. You know, this has come up with me recently. And when I recently realized how, when I first graduated from high school in 87 and I didn't own a TV.
Yeah.
And I didn't bother renting a lot of videos or whatever.
Yeah.
So until about maybe 10 to 13 years ago, we've had conversations where you'll make reference to something. I won't know what it is. Well, the reason is because for the first 10 or 15 years of my life away from home, I didn't listen to the radio. I didn't watch television except when I visit my brother sometimes. You know, I was just completely, the 90s is, I know nothing about what was going on in popular culture in the 90s and most of the early 2000s. But so most of my plugging into popular culture that I missed in almost 20 years is through Netflix.
Mm.
And I watched a whole bunch of movies that I didn't get to see when they were first out. And I kept up with movies that I didn't see in the theater that I wanted to see. And for a long time, I thought I liked, heist movies. I mean, I got an idea of what genres I liked. And what I've realized recently is, no, I don't actually like any of these things. Mostly because I liked them when I was first watching them. Yeah. But after the third or fourth one, when they were all the same, I realized, no, I don't like that. And so now...
Or you liked it once. That's another thing.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I really loved this movie. Since then, I have discovered I don't particularly care for the genre. I mean, it could have been any of these movies, but I only need to see one. Yeah. And that was very interesting. Right. And now I can move on.
Well, it's so... The upshot of it is right now our Netflix queue is practically empty.
Mm.
And when we watch streaming, it's almost always documentaries and stuff. I mean, I'm right back
there's
where...
There's some really amazing documentaries.
No, it's true, but I'm kind of right back where I started, where I was pretty much only watching documentaries, hardly ever watched anything else. And then I really got into movies and stuff. And yeah, I just don't... I mean, kind of like you, I probably will never see Game of Thrones because I don't care. Why should I watch something I'm not interested in?
In this day and age, we've got so many options.
Oh, yeah.
If I want to watch something...
That you want
to
watch.
Or just stuff to try again. Like, if there's stuff that I'm not sure about, okay, let's grab this. Oh, am I not sure about that? I can find something else. And I mean, I'm not saying follow the easiest path here.
Yeah.
But I'm like, when in doubt, you can probably find something similar...
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make you doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
You remind me when you're talking about all the stuff you don't know that I know, which is considerable.
Yeah.
walking past two coworkers today, and I hear him say, oh, sorry, I was confusing with Sideshow Bob. Because at a certain point, all of them sort of blur together for me. And she said something about... And I can't remember, was it only one sister that kept getting married, or did they trade off? Or what? And I walked past, and I went to the pop machine. My brain's ticking, and I'm getting the pop, and I walk back over, and they're still there. And I said, by the way, Selma was the one who got married every single time. Patty turned out to be a lesbian and almost got married, but then the woman turned out to secretly be a man in disguise, so she's never been married. But all the actual weddings that we've had were Selma, and she's been married several times. And they were like, oh, thank you. And then they were like, how did you? I was like, I heard very little. I.
But see, I know just enough to know you're talking about The Simpsons, but otherwise I don't
but
know
that's
anything
the thing.
About it.
I constantly shock, and I'll be honest, a little bit dismay myself with the level of Simpsons knowledge I have. I did not seek to get it. I do not tend to consider my... But I know so goddamn much and so many lines, and I remember... Like, people say, you know, like, you use your brain for what you... I lost math, but you remember sports scores or, you know, whatever. Apparently, I've dedicated a shit ton of synapses to The Simpsons. Because as much as I don't do it on purpose... I mean, I don't remember all sorts of things, but I know... I remember so much about The Simpsons. Kind of freaks me out. We're almost out of time, so we probably should grab the hat in some form. Oh! I don't know why. This just fucking cracked me up. So I do a lot of silly shit at work. Because I do a lot of silly shit in life. And people don't know why. And part of it is I like attention. But part of it is... This is how I entertain myself. I go to a job every day. And I love my job. But not enough that, like, I wouldn't love being paid and not having a job better.
Yeah, right.
It's still a job.
Right.
And so I keep myself entertained. And sometimes I do that... with friends, sometimes I do that with, sometimes the work's actually, like, interesting and that does it, but a lot of times, sometimes I wear a box on my head. Frequently I wear a box on my head. I like putting boxes on my head. I don't know what it, but that's the thing. I entertain myself. I do silly things, and I like that other people find them funny, but mostly I do it to amuse myself.
Okay.
And so, I get up to go to the bathroom, and I'll do it real weird. Like, I'll do it like I'm sneaking around and stuff. And people look at me like, what you doing? I'm like, nothing, I'm just bored. But anyway, so today, I'm going to work. And we have a lock on the door, like electronic locks. We have little badges we can get in with. My badge is in my purse. I just hold my purse up to the door. Because it'll
sure,
read it through.
Sure, yeah.
And I do that. And there's another guy coming at the same time. And I don't know him. I've never seen him before, actually. But I think he works there. He had a badge on, so he did. And I said, actually, I don't even have my badge. The banana in my purse works these electronic locks. And I pull out the banana I have. And he's like, and I'm like, yeah. And I put it up to my head because I just do that. Like, you know, like it's a phone. Mm-hmm. As I'm getting in the elevator. And I decided to do this. And so I get out of the elevator. And from getting out of the elevator all the way to my desk, which is not, there's some distance. And you pass a lot of people and a lot of things. I talked into it like it was a phone.
Sure.
But for the sake of authenticity... I came up with a conversation with somebody because remember I said we're gaming this Sunday. Mm. I invented a conversation in my head with one of the players about like when it was happening and whether sure. they're going to arrive and all this stuff, and just did it dead on. And like, what's amazing is how many people just didn't even notice. But then other people, I had so much fun just walking along. I was like, yeah, no, okay, if you can make it, that's great. But yeah, it'll probably go till about just the whole with the banana. It's all the way there. It was really fun. All right, so yeah, do the hat. Because we're almost out of time. Don't worry, next week we'll do lots of questions, I'm sure.
Probably. Jazz.
We're dead. Oh, is it what now?
Jazz.
Oh, jazz. Dear, that
dear,
was freeform jazz.
Dear Deerstalker delegates.
Wait, what?
I don't know what that means.
What?
Deerstalkers. Delegates.
What?
Well, we're not...
I understand what delegates
not,
means.
We're not Deerstalkers.
I even understand what Deerstalker means, but...
I don't know what a Deerstalker
means. Are we... Yeah. How did deers get involved? I'll bet it's a literary thing because it's jazz.
Probably.
But it is a little. That's a little creepy. Like who's stalking? Why? Who is stalking deers? Jazz and why? Or sorry, deer. I guess the plural is still deer.
And why are we representing them?
And
in
why,
some kind of?
Or are we delegating deer stalking to others?
Oh,
I mean, I don't. No, we're the delegates. That would be a delegator. So yeah, we've been delegated deer stalking.
Or we're representing them to someone else as delegates.
That's true. We are here to open up a deer stalking embassy in your country.
I don't know. The question is, if you could find out...
This is considered deer stalker soil.
If you could find out the answer to one mystery, what would it be? And let's not include what she means by deer stalker delegates.
Yeah, no, we're going
to
be...
One mystery. Could find the answer to one mystery, what would it be? Mystery, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, this is tricky. There's a lot of reasons. First of all, it's obviously too broad because I'm like, I would want to know what the purpose of the universe is. You know, like, I'm being like, that's not fair.
No.
That's not. What the hell? Sorry. What are you doing?
Let's.
You made my supper earlier. Didn't sound like that. Are you growing?
Let's leave it to mysteries that could conceivably be solved. Like, you know, like
who killed JFK?
Yeah, JFK. Yeah. So conceivably, we could get the answer to that if someone, some special person, came forward and told us. You know, that kind of thing.
That's bad though. Not something really an angel go back from heaven would have like, to
come down and tell us.
What was the deal with Jesus for real? You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing.
Okay.
Because we're specifying, we get to know an answer.
Yeah.
We're going to run into Cassandra syndrome.
What's that?
Let's even just say together, we do. The dude shows up and he tells us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll even say it's a JFK.
Okay.
What the fuck are we going to do with that? For the rest of our lives, we either just don't say anything, which would be weird, especially if it was something, like, unusual. Or we tell people, and nobody is going to necessarily believe us. So it needs to be a mystery that, like, A, I want to know, and B, I can live with just me knowing. Like, it's not something that... Because far too many mysteries, if we get the answer, we're going to want to go see justice done, or, you sure. know, clear up the mistake. Like, because yeah. we'll see people, like, doing terrible things based on an assumption that we know is not true and stuff like that. But I'm like, nowhere in this are we including the evidence. We just get to know.
Sure, and like...
that makes it awkward.
Like, what if it's... I want to know what's really going on with people who experience being abducted by aliens. Is this some... are they crazy in their head? Or is this really happening? The aliens are really coming here. And if they are... wow. I mean, like you said, what do you do with that?
And if the answer is they're just crazy, it's not that interesting. Everybody already thinks that. Yeah, and you're going to be like, yeah, it was like I thought.
Right.
That's what sucks. We pick the mystery, and the mystery is the boring answer it appears to be. Like, what? Who killed JFK? Lee Harvey Oswald. Oh, well, all right, then. Thank you.
Well, see, that's...
But the other version is aliens, and you just now sound like one of the abductees.
That's right.
So, that's except right. except now you're just as frustrated as them that nobody will believe you.
Yeah.
I'm like... so this feels really double-edged swords to me, and that's why it feels like the genie wishes thing. I'm like, or the monkey's paw. I'm like, I need to word it very carefully. No zombie turkey. Well, yeah. I don't want to turn into a turkey myself.
For me, I guess there's a lot of things that are going to be
another Simpsons joke.
They're going to be things that are boring to other people. Like, I've been working on genealogy stuff recently, and there are things I don't know about genealogy that I would like to know. And if I learned them, I would be enriched by it. Nobody else would care. So, except maybe the rest of my family. So that's a safe thing to ask, but it's also kind of a boring thing to ask.
There's a lot of ones that are like, well, and there's a lot of historical ones.
Like what happened to Jimmy Hoffa and stuff like that.
What happened to Hoffa? What happened to Cooper?
You know, I just saw something. Do you mean the hijacker?
D.B. Cooper,
I just saw a thing on television about that recently where this woman thinks that it was her uncle. And her uncle and this... her two of her uncles planned it. And they succeeded.
Well, yeah.
But then when they went to go retrieve the money, they never came back. And she thinks... she thinks that the...
this is lame.
The CIA used these guys... because right after this happened, before it happened, a lot of people in the government, especially, they wanted to do things to sort of increase security in airports. But people who were traveling on planes, people who were traveling on planes and stuff, they didn't. Every time they tried, the people didn't like it. They complained about it. But after this particular hijacking, even though there were hijackings going on all the time, for people wanted to get to Cuba, you know, it was happening all the time. But nobody wanted there to be increased security. Nobody wanted any of that. But somehow, this particular crime made everybody okay with the new security stuff, and they think the CIA planned it that way, and that they kind of used these two guys to plan this heist, and then when they were done with them, they killed them.
But you've got nothing again, and so this becomes a, you know, that mystery, D.B. Cooper, of the guy who hijacked the plane and disappeared without a trace? Well, in reality, that was my uncle, who then disappeared without a trace.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
just kicking the can down the road.
I was gonna say, so we made a little detour.
Well, the money related to me. The money washed up on a shore somewhere. Some of it,
but
did.
not all of it.
Not all of it. Yep. I mean, you know, the
I'm like,
whole
thing. This doesn't help.
Maybe.
That's like the stories where, like, you know how so-and-so died? That's not how they died. They actually died this way 5 minutes later in the same place, so who gives a fuck?
Well, you know, there are some, probably those two, or not those two things, two things. The UFO thing and ghost stuff. You know, when people say they've experienced ghosts and whatnot.
Although there is a theory going around
on
ghosts.
I'd like to know what that is. I don't
ghosts.
Know.
That. There's a theory. Ghosts people who claim to have seen ghosts. On?
They were wearing pajamas.
You can hear the goats.
I see goats in pajamas. Yes. They don't know they're goats in pajamas.
Some people are especially tuned to goats. They have an affinity for goats. Other people just flat out don't believe in goats. A goat could be right next to them, and they're like, I don't know
won't
what you're talking
see
about.
It. Yeah.
No, ghosts as it's a sound wave. 19 hertz.
I don't know.
What, baby? What? 20 what is the lowest for human hearing?
What?
20 hertz is the lowest for human hearing?
Yeah.
20 hertz is the lowest frequency that you can actually hear.
Okay.
At 19, somewhere between 18 and 19, right around there, I think 18.4 is also a big one, part of your brain still registers the sound, but you don't think you're hearing it.
Right.
To you, it's silent. And they've pretty well proven in places that it will do things. It will fill you with dread. Well, certain people, not everybody, but a certain percentage of people that frequency will fill them with senses of dread, terror, feel like sickness
watched,
and
maybe.
Stuff like yeah, that kind
yeah,
of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, it can even instill. Even visual hallucinations, and it has to do with something, hearing that sound, things in your peripheral vision that would just be like, you know, like the little floaties in your eye or whatever, it will, you'll think it's something.
Hmm.
And they've had several things where they've investigated places that are known for, like, people go here and they feel a chill, and and they've brought equipment, and they found a source, it was essentially like the vibration of pipes in certain places was hitting that frequency.
Huh,
so they're really starting, because that was the thing, they're like, you know, don't believe in ghosts, but every, like, so many fucking people in so many different places in so many situations
who aren't schizophrenic, they're
yeah,
not
exactly.
they're
like,
not crazy,
like, it's so
but they have,
it's so widespread
yeah.
throughout the world and through time
yeah yeah
that something's there
yeah yeah
but it's not, so this is maybe it. So I found that interesting, but that would be a good one. Ghosts would be a good one.
Yeah.
Psychic shit would be a good one. But not D.B. Cooper. Am I the only one who doesn't give a damn? My favorite D.B. Cooper theory is that it's Tommy Wiseau. But that one doesn't really hold water for a lot of reasons. But that's how little I care. D.B. I'll be honest, I don't care that much about who killed JFK either. But I think that's because I wasn't alive then. And I wasn't alive for D.B. Cooper, so maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Way more interested in how Michael Jackson died. That is a lie. I don't give a fuck about that either. I wasn't looking. We're way over time. So we're going to go for a few minutes. For you, it'll be a week. All right?
Yep.
All right. So we'll talk to you in a week. Ooh, goats. Scary goats.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.